great. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us throw everything that hinders and the sins that so easily encounter. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the final and perfecter of faith, the joy set before him, the endeavor because, scorning its shame and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It is certainly a privilege and a blessing to be here with you today on this Naval Lord's Day. We're so thankful to God for his grace and for his mercy, which he continues to extend towards us, because he didn't have to do it, but he did in the spirit of our lives, that we can come to this place to be in the Lord's house on the Lord's Day among the Lord's people. If you're visiting with us this morning, we want you to know that you're among friends, and I encourage you to come back as often as you can, and know without a doubt that a warm Christian welcome awaits you here. As always, I want to encourage you to follow along with me as I endeavor to preach the Word of God to you, recognizing that I have nothing of myself to offer you but what thus saith the Lord. We want you to read like the Bereans were in Acts chapter 17 and verse number 11, where the Bible says that these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to consider whether these things are so. And if what is preached from this pulpit is the word of God, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse number 4, that God be true and every man a liar. I invite your kind attention to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, which has already been read into your hearing, and meet me in verse number 1. You will notice that this chapter begins with the word therefore. And what is therefore? Therefore, as a result of what came before. The Hebrew writer says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Today, the 10th of November, is commonly known as Remembrance Sunday. It is on this day that many around the world will remember those men and women who offered themselves in service to their country, to go into foreign lands to fight for freedom and to defend against foreign enemies. Tomorrow is Remembrance Day in official, but it's Remembrance Sunday. And likewise, here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 in particular, we remember those men and women who were heroes of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 has been known as the Hall of Fame of Faith. And so, following on from the famed chapter in Hebrews chapter 11, the Hebrew writer continues here in chapter 12 to encourage the church to stay in the running. The atmosphere is one of a foot race in a theater or an arena, an amphitheater, as it were. We can see the runners laying aside their weights and striving to run their race successfully. And so the recipients of this letter, the book of Hebrews, is written to Jewish Christians, men and women who had left Judaism, and because of persecution, were tempted to go back to their old Jewish religion. And so the Hebrew writer wants to encourage them, if you leave Jesus, you leave everything. And he also wants to encourage and to remind them that Jesus is better than anything that you can ever have. And so Jesus is, to them and even to us, our only form of salvation. If you leave Jesus, you leave everything. And so the recipients of the letter were getting weary. Perhaps you are getting weary. And they wanted to give up, while others endured to the end to win the prize.
The theme of the chapter in Hebrews chapter 12 is endurance and patience. Endurance and patience. We read here in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 in particular. He talks about running the race that is set before you. In Philippians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, the Apostle Paul says these words. He talks about pressing toward the goal or pressing toward the mark. Paul says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, what for? That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. He says in verse number 13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. In other words, I have not arrived. I have not met the mark yet. But he says, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, he said, I press toward the goal, and some translations say, the mark for the prize of the upward call of Christ, of Jesus, of God, sorry, in Christ Jesus. And so this morning I want to speak to you from the subject, the three looks of Hebrews chapter 12. The three looks of Hebrews chapter 12. In verse number 1, at the first point, look around at the winners. Look around at the winners. He says, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. These are the winners. These witnesses are winners, but they're not spectators. You know how we, perhaps this last August, the Olympics took place in Paris, and many of you perhaps have watched on TV as witnesses of what was going on. These witnesses are not spectators in the context. Rather, they are heroes of faith that we read about in Hebrews chapter 11 who have already run the race successfully. They have already run the race successfully. Look at the winners. The word here, witness, in the text is, again, these are not spectators. Rather, in the Greek, the word is our English word, martyr. The word witness in the Greek is our English word, martyr. What is a martyr? A martyr is a person who has given his or herself in the cause of Christ. They were so committed to what Jesus was about that they were willing to give their lives for Jesus. But what is a witness? A witness is someone who has seen something. You cannot go to a court of law and say that you are a credible witness unless you have seen or heard something. And so, see that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and these witnesses instead of bearing witness to us that God can and will see us through to the end. These men and women were faithful to God in following what he said by faith and have done that courageously to the very end. And so God indeed bore witness to them. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 2 says, for it by the elders obtained a good testimony. Verses 4 and 5. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 verses 4 and 5. I'll give you a chance to turn there. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 4 and 5. I want you to pay attention to two words in that text. And you'll see this over and over in the book of Hebrews. It begins in verse number 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which, what did he do? He obtained witness that he was righteous. And guess what God did? God testifying, the Bible says, of his gifts. Imagine, would you and I have the nerve to call God as a witness? Would you and I have the nerve to call God to the court of law and call him to give witness? So God himself will witness that what Cain did, his sacrifice, sorry, Abel did, was a more excellent sacrifice. It said, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. And verse number 5 says, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before him, before he was taken, look, he said he had this testimony that he pleased God. Isn't that something, church? How do they please God? How do we please God? We please God by faith. And then he goes on to say, in verse number 39 of that same text, and all these men and women of faith, having obtained a good testimony, how through faith did not receive the promise. So therefore, all these men and women of faith are now bearing witness to us, these witnesses, church, that men like Abraham, like Noah, Moses, and Enoch, they are bearing witness to what we are doing here in our Christian ranks. Church, the Bible says in Romans chapter 15, and verse number 4, this is one of my most favorite verses. It says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and endurance of the scriptures might have hope. The word patience here in the text means endurance, and comfort means encouragement. Therefore, one of the best ways to develop endurance and encouragement is to get to know the godly men and women of the Old Testament who by faith ran their race with endurance. And let us look, first of all, at the winners. And number two, our second point, is look at yourself. Look at yourself. In Hebrews chapter 12, and the latter part of verse number 1 says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Look at yourself. During training, athletes would wear weights to help them prepare for the events, just like the Olympics. You know, boxers will put weights on their ankles and perhaps have a backpack or rucksack with rocks in it to train. But no athlete would participate with those weights on because that would slow that person down. Too much weight would tax one's endurance. Any of you ever been traveling on an airplane? And sometimes you overpack. Amen, somebody. And you take too much with you, and they tell you when you get in the check-in, sir, ma'am, you are overweight. So what are you going to do? You've got to lay aside that excess weight. If not, you've got to pay for it. And so likewise, we today cannot fully run our Christian race with the weight that will hinder our spiritual growth and development. But what are those weights that we should lay aside or cast off, according to the Hebrew writer? That will be every and anything that will hinder our progress. Perhaps it's doubt that hinders us. Apathy, the cares of this world, half-heartedness. Our focus sometimes is on the wrong thing. And you know, you've never seen a bird flying with luggage. Did you ever notice that? You never see a bird flying with luggage, but we carry a whole lot of baggage. Some of us, perhaps have baggage that we carry into this place even today. And so a winning athlete does not choose between good and bad. Instead, he chooses between better and best. I could be doing a good job for the Lord, but I could be doing a better job for the Lord. But my question is, what's the best job I can be doing for the Lord? Because everything we're doing is not the best thing we should be doing. Amen. And so he says, lay aside every weight and snare that so easily that ensnares us. You cannot win a race if you're not in the race. We were talking this morning in the Bible class about salvation. Amen. You cannot be saved unless you are looking to be saved. And you cannot get a prize for running the race if you are not in the race. And so, church, the truth is that each of us has a choice whether we enter this race. Amen. The preacher said, no one's going to force you to be saved. But you know, you've got a devil You got a devil that will say, not today. You can wait. You're still young. You've got things to do. That's what you call apathy. Amen. Procrastination. Because the Bible says, listen, for what is your life? James. It is but a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. So we ought not put off tomorrow that is not promised to us for what we can do even today. And so, church, you have to run the race if you're in the race and stay in your lane. Amen. Don't get distracted. And so the Hebrew writer describes the weight as the sin that so easily ensnares us. The King James says the sin that so easily beset us. But what is that? What is that sin? But you've got to go back to Hebrews 11 and verse number 6. You know the verse. He says, listen, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But what do we seek? Well, you know what the Bible says. You know that verse over there in the book of Matthew says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But seek ye, seek ye, seek ye, seek ye. All of us, every day, we all go seeking. So we go seeking food, we go seeking money, we go seeking fame, we go seeking our own agenda. But it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. But where does God fit on our list of priorities on a daily basis? Well, we've got all these things to do. And sometimes we put the Lord way down here. But he said, but seek ye first. You know that. The kingdom. What's the kingdom? That's the rule and the reign. You put God first and all of those things on your list, he'll take care of that. But you know what we do? We seek things first. And then we say, oh, by the way, I'll just come in on Sunday and check that box and then go on with my thing. So it's not about that. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Look at yourself. Look at yourself. So this sin that so easily ensnares us, according to the Hebrew writer, is a lack of faith. It is a lack of faith. Hebrews 11 and 1 says, so then faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So that suggests to me that if you can see it, that's not faith. If you're seeking a job or you're going to, that's not faith. If you're seeking money, that's not faith because you can see it. If you're seeking some other pleasure, that is not faith. Faith is the substance of things hopeful. None of us have ever seen Jesus. None of us have ever seen heaven. None of us have seen God. But he said, we put our confidence in a thing that we do not see. But you've got to make that your priority. Set aside the sin that so easily ensnares us, a lack of faith. You connect that to Hebrews chapter 11. And so he says, listen, the sin is a lack of enduring faith. The same kind of sinful, the sin that kept Israel out of the promised land. You remember that? And will keep you and I out of the promised land in heaven as well if we're not careful. Because you listen, the reality is you have to grow through what you go through. Whatever you're going through, amen, as long as Jesus is on the other side, now that's not my sermon. That's the 23rd Psalm. A part of the 23rd Psalm says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're there with me, Lord. So you know what that suggests to me? You've got to go through some things. You can't, listen, you may not be able to get over it, but with God, you can get through it. You've got to go through some pain. You've got to go through some hardship. You've got to go through some inconvenience. You've got to go through some things. But the Lord said he'll go with you. But you know what our problem is? We seek our own things. That's why we go through things alone, because we forget Jesus. Look at yourself is the second point. And your third point, and the most important point, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. In verse number 2 of Hebrews chapter 12 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of, and in some translations, in some Bibles, you'll see that the word our, O-U-R, is in italics. That's not in the original text. So if you read that in the original text, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Listen, because faith has an object, and that object is Jesus Christ. You don't put your faith in me. I'm not going to put my faith in you because I can see you. And you can see me, so there's no faith. And so he says, the author and finisher of faith. That gives it a whole different meaning. So looking, this word looking means to view with undivided attention by looking away from any object and to regard fixedly and earnestly on something else. You know how I like to, when I get on the bus, I like to watch people. I like to watch people. And I want to challenge you this week, just watch people. How many folk do you see? That's what we call technique. You ever heard of that? Technique, young people? Togo on the bus, they're just, even in church, I've watched folk in church and they're scrolling on their phones. You can fix your eyes on something, but you've got to fix your eyes on Jesus according to the text. Look at Jesus, because listen, it's not that we don't know how to do it, it's that we don't do it. Amen. And so he said to look at me with undivided attention. You know, sometimes I could be so in the zone. I'm talking about myself. Brothers, am I talking to somebody? Justin, you don't hear anything. You don't see anything. Huh? Looking unto Jesus. Why Jesus? The Hebrew writer describes him as the author or the chief leader and finisher or completer of faith. In other words, he started the race of life and will bring all things to its proper conclusion. But we must lay aside the sin of unbelief by looking to Jesus. That's how you lay aside the sin. You have to fix your eyes on Jesus because listen. I'm going to let you down. You're going to let me down. Your job is going to let you down. Your health is going to let you down. Money is going to let you down. The government is going to let you down. Folk are going to let you down. But Jesus will never let you down. Looking unto Jesus. Don't look at me because I'm going to mess up. You're going to mess up. Keep your eyes fixed on. Listen, if nobody else goes, I'm good. If nobody else cares, I'm going to care. If nobody else does it, I will do it because I'm going to fix my eyes on Jesus. So, why, listen, when dying Jews in Moses' day looked at the uplifted bronze sword, we're studying, we talked about that in our Bible class on Wednesday night, Brother George, that bronze serpent, they were healed. And this is an illustration of salvation through faith in Christ. Turn with me in the Old Testament book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21, for those of you who know, but just in case you don't know, I'm just going to give you, let Moses talk to you here. Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. And let's see ourselves in the text as well, shall we? Are you there yet? Yeah. Numbers 21, verse number 4 says, then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. Have you been discouraged this week, last week? Huh? The souls of the people had become discouraged. Here was Moses, God delivered Israel from Pharaoh's hands. And by the way of Moses, and here they were coming, heading on the way to the promised land, the people got discouraged. What did they do? And they spoke against God and against Moses. This is what they say. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. God sent them manna. They didn't want that. in our VR. We want a steak and eggs. We want filet mignon. We want prawns. We want all sort of things. You took us out of this good old Egypt. Everything was fine, and you're bringing here, there's nothing here for us, and we don't even want this bread. Then the Bible says, so the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be to everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and so it was. If the serpent had bitten anyone, watch this now, when they looked at the bronze serpent, the Bible says, he lived. He lived. He lived. He lived. He said, listen, you make this pole, everybody looks up at this bronze serpent, will be saved. But you know, the Apostle John got involved in John chapter 3 and verse 14 and 16. We all know John 3:16, but if you read the couple of verses up before, you'd be surprised what you'll learn when you read your Bible. John chapter 3 and verse number 14 says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And watch this now, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then in verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But what do these verses have to do with one another? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Because salvation in Moses' day came when a man looked at the uplifted bronze serpent that was in the Old Testament, but John explained that salvation comes in the New Testament when man looks at the uplifted Son of God. Now, here's your second little homework. On the side of the ambulance, and I looked this up, you go and Google it, you just Google the East Midlands or West Midlands logo. You will see in that emblem there is a serpent. That same symbol is on the side of every ambulance. Where did that come from? It came from here in Numbers. That serpent. So when you see that symbol, you know that salvation, a life-saving measures walk, is on the way. Help is on the way. And so we have to what? We've got to look to Jesus for our salvation. But you know, when we get our eye focused on the wrong thing, salvation is at stake. To look unto Jesus means that we must consider, he says, looking unto Jesus means that we must consider his lifestyle of faith, his loyalty, his endurance, and his love. We must fix our eyes on Jesus and consider what motivated him to endure, and then we must do the same thing. What are you fixing your eyes on, church? What has your eye been fixed on this past week? That's the question. And the Bible says, what does the book say? It says, who for the joy that was set before him? What does that mean? The joy was not the cross. The joy was not the cross. Jesus left heaven, came down to earth to suffer for you and me. Why? Because he understood that after the cross would come the joy. How do I know? The Bible says, weeping may endure for a night, but what? Joy comes when? In the morning. And you know what that morning is? That morning is that great getting up morning for salvation for those who have been endured, who have endured until the very end. You and I will not hear God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, unless we have done well and have been good. Amen. Don't leave this life without considering Jesus. And church, listen. Listen. If you miss anything, you don't forget this third point. He gave up the joy of heaven and was lifted up on the cross for you and me. Never forget that. Listen, Why should I look to Jesus? The lost look to Jesus to see the loving Savior. The wayward look to Jesus to see the only way. The confused look to Jesus to see the perfect truth. The empty look to Jesus to see the abundant life. The meek look to Jesus and to see the suffering servant. The humble look to Jesus to see the risen Lord. The blind look to Jesus to see the glorious light. The bound look to Jesus to see the conquering warrior. The wounded look to Jesus to see the healing physician. And the oppressed look to Jesus to see the triumphant king. I don't care what happens in this world, I don't care who's in charge, but the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, Jesus, always keep your eye fixed on Jesus. Fashion will come and go, economies will come and go, people will come and go, you will come and go, but Jesus will always be in heaven. And he wants us to fix our eyes on him. Well, you know what the first thing we need to do to fix our eyes on Jesus? You got to get in the race. If you're not a Christian, you are not in the race. What must I do to get in the race? First of all, you've got to hear the word of God. That's Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You've got to believe that Jesus is the only way to save you from your sins. That's John 3:16. You must repent of your sins, says Luke 13:3-5. You must confess Jesus as Lord, Romans 10:9-10. And then you must be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, as Mark 16:15-16. And for those of us who are Christians, I want to talk to you. Listen, I don't care what you go through in this life. I don't care what you're going through in this life, always look to Jesus. Revelation 2. You know, Revelation 2:10 is written to Christians. Huh? Let's see what the book says, and the message is yours. Revelation 2 is not Revelations, it's Revelation 2. And verse 10 says, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Not mine. You are about to suffer. The writer says, indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. But he says, be faithful. How long? Until death. And here's the promise. And he says, and I will give you the crown of life. You know, the Hebrew writer talked about the race, but the John talks about a crown. This crown in Revelation 2:10 is the Stephanos crown. This is the victor's crown, and this crown, listen, in the Olympics, only one person gets the gold medal. But in Jesus, all who are faithful get a crown. But you can't get a crown unless you've been faithful and you have endured. If you quit, you won't get a reward. You won't get a reward from Jesus, but you're going to get a reward from Satan. Amen. One day, on Judgment Day, each of us will have to meet the great paymaster. The great paymaster. I was in the army. That's not exciting. And once a year, they will have what they call pay parade. You have to get dressed up in your army uniform. And here was the paymaster was sitting at a desk, and the quartermaster was sitting next to him, and you had to march on up to the table. Salute, number, rank, and name, and he would look in his book. And he would say, I ran in a private, and I came out of private, amen. And he would say, here's your reward. And if you didn't get any, you didn't work hard, you didn't get a reward. But there will also be on Judgment Day, there will be Jesus, and there will be Satan. Satan will be there, and he will say, the books will be open, and if your name is not written in the book of life, Satan will say, I've got him over here in my book, and he's going to say, you've been one of my best employees. Amen. You've been the employee of the month for a long time. You might say, well, no, Lord. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have I done many marvelous works? Huh? Yeah. What the book say? I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian. You can become a Christian by doing those five things. But if you are a Christian, you need prayer. James 5 and 16 says, confess your trespasses one to another and pray one to another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. That's what the book says. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, in either of these two ways, I'd like to encourage you to stand with me as we sing the song of encouragement.